If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I really want to focus on the last verse of that chapter, but to get a little bit of context, I want to back up to verse 14. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the young preacher Timothy. He's writing to his son in the ministry. He's writing to one that he loves very much. And he's giving admonitions under the inspiration of God. While this was Paul's pen that wrote these words, we don't ever need to forget they weren't Paul's words, but they were the words of God himself. Beginning in verse 14, it says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, whole messages could be preached on those verses, and that's not my purpose this morning. But what is my purpose is to remind us that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a singular thing, and we are blessed to be a part of that church. And part of the responsibility of the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. When we see great pillars on the buildings of America, and a lot of the courthouses of America have strong pillars that hold the building up, and the church is to hold up the truth. It's to be the pillar, the holder up of. It's to be the ground or the foundation of the truth. I don't think anybody here would disagree with the statement that there's a whole lot of lies in our world today, that there's a whole lot of falsehoods in our world today. But in the midst of a dark, dismal world, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is to be a pillar, that's to be a ground, that's to be a holder up of the truth of the Lord Jesus. And that's the most precious thing ever. And we're blessed to hold it up. And then to get to the verse that, "Lord being our helper," I'd like to spend our time on this morning and hope it's of the Lord. He gets into part of the truth that we should be holding up. Certainly this isn't all that we believe, but it gives a basis for some very fundamental beliefs of the truth we should be holding up. It said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." He just described some of the fundamentals of the truth that the church is to hold up. And he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That word "without controversy" means nobody could bring a reasonable argument against it. It's so true, and it's so plainly true, it's without controversy. He said, without controversy, great. That word great means big, it means large, it means high, it means strong, it means mighty. Great, strong, mighty, high is the mystery of godliness. Now in our world today, when we generally hear the word mystery, maybe it's a mystery novel, maybe it's some mystery television show we're watching, maybe we're playing that tried true game called Clue that I played as a little boy. In all of those things, when we think about them, something bad has happened. Maybe a crime has taken place, and some kind of investigators or detectives or law enforcement is trying to figure out this secret crime that's been committed and try to figure out who did it and reveal that in an investigation. And all those things are that something bad's happened and it needs to be revealed and we need to figure out who did this. But the word mystery itself does not have to be something bad. Matter of fact, right here, it's about something good. Not only is it about something good, it's about the very best thing that could have ever happened. And it's about the best person that there has ever been. Great is the mystery of godliness. And he gets into what that mystery is and gets into more of the details of it in the rest of the verse. God was manifest in the flesh. Who's that? When was God manifest in the flesh? You see God coming down in the Old Testament. When God Almighty spoke to Moses out of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, God is speaking unto Moses out of that burning bush. And God's giving Moses some very precious information. You see, the children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for some 400 years. And God tells Moses, I've seen the affliction that they've suffered. He said, I've heard their cries by the reason of their taskmasters. That means the Lord's telling Moses, every time a whip went on the back of one of the little children of Israel, I heard it. I knew it. The children of Israel could have wondered in those 400 years, does God really know what we're going through? And if he really knows, does he care? The disciples had that same attitude when there was a great storm that came up. And Jesus, the Bible says, in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. You remember what the disciples came and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Certainly the Lord cared deeply about the disciples. Certainly he had shown them in many abundant ways how much he loved them. But in the frailty of our flesh, we can sometimes, in the weakness of faith, and in doubting and fear, we can have that same attitude. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And here God's telling Moses from the burning bush, he's letting him know, I've seen everything. I've seen your affliction. I've heard every cry that's been cried out. And not only that, he said, I know their sorrow. I know not what, only what they've suffered on the outside. I know and understand what they're suffering on the inside. I know the fears and the thoughts of their hearts. Then you know what he said? And I am come down to deliver them. He said, I am come down. You know what God was telling Moses? I'm already here. God came down and he was talking to Moses out of that burning bush. And I think there's a few times you'll see in the Old Testament where God came down. Matter of fact, I think there's a few times you'll see where Jesus came down. I believe Jesus walked with those three Hebrew children when they were in that burning, fiery furnace. I believe Jesus came down and was with them. I believe you'll see that a few times in the Old Testament. But what you won't see is God coming down in flesh. You won't see it. God, part of this mystery being revealed, and part of the greatness of this mystery of godliness, is God manifest in the flesh. You don't ever see that until Jesus comes. Then something that the prophets had been prophesying about since time began, but they didn't understand it all. They saw glimpses of truth of the Messiah that would come, of the Son of God that would come. They saw glimpses of it, but they were never able to see the fullness of it. But we in the New Testament church have been blessed that mystery that had been hidden from all ages has now been revealed to us. The greatest mystery that's ever been, the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, has been manifest to us. The 400 years before Jesus came was a time of great silence. There wasn't a prophet speaking unto the children of Israel for 400 years. From Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, there was 400 years of silence. But then the New Testament begins. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The great mystery of godliness, Jesus, has been revealed. It's like the curtain that's been shut for 400 years finally opens, and what do we see but King Jesus revealed? God manifest in the flesh. God became man. Now, just try to wrap your mind around that for a moment. That's astounding. The Bible tells us that in the Lord Jesus Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It tells us that in him dwells all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in the body of a man. God was manifest in the flesh. It'll later say he was seen of angels. And when God was about to be manifest in the flesh, there was angelic messengers that gave the news. The angel Gabriel came unto Mary and told her, that which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel Gabriel tells Mary that the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. He tells them that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, the angels have always been intently interested in the mystery of Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel that you and I are blessed to see and believe today. In talking about the power of the gospel and of the Holy Ghost, in 1 Peter, it tells us this, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll begin in verse 10 for a little bit of context. It said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You see, the Old Testament prophets, they were blessed to know a little bit. They were blessed to see glimpses of this great mystery that would come. But they were not blessed to see the fullness of it. And a lot of the things they were blessed to pen by the divine inspiration of God, they didn't understand. And we're able to understand their writings today better than they did, because we've seen it fulfilled. We've seen the mystery revealed. He said, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, that is in these prophets that were blessed to pen the Old Testament scriptures, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Again, they saw it in shadow form, but they didn't see the fullness of it like we do. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, listen, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. This mystery was revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the accompaniment of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. What a blessing. The things we're able to hear and see and believe today that Jesus has done. The mystery has been revealed. And it says, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels have always been interested. Do you remember when they gave that wonderful birth announcement to the shepherds? I love it when we hear the announcement of the birth of a child. It's a great blessing. And I love it when we hear that. Maybe we'll get it in an email. And in the email, there's a picture of the child that's just been born. Maybe we get it in a little card in the mail. And we see the picture of the little baby that's come. And we rejoice. I've gotten birth announcements by email, by text, in the mail and on the phone. But I'm going to tell you, the birth above all births that would come was when God was manifest in the flesh. And angels announced that birth. You remember the Bible tells us there were angels. There were shepherds, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just to the Jews, praise God, but also to us, the Gentiles, which shall be to all people, for unto you, you lowly shepherds, he came for you. To the lowest rung of Jewish society at that time, Jesus came for you also. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The Bible said, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, an angelic multitude came, and they were praising God. The mystery was being revealed. God was coming in the flesh. There was with them a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'll tell you, that was a birth announcement, never to be forgotten, that we rejoice in today. The birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of God coming down as a man, God manifest in the flesh. I'll tell you, when those shepherds went to that manger and they saw that little babe, they were blessed to be some of the first to see God in the flesh. When they saw that little babe, they would see the one that would save them from their sins and also even save Mary, his mother, from her sins. Even Mary said, I rejoice in the Spirit of God, my Savior. You see, Mary knew she needed the redemption that was in Christ, the little babe. We see that beautiful scene where Simeon goes into the temple. The Lord Jesus is about 40 days old, but he's God manifest in the flesh. And you know, that was prophesied by Malachi. I don't think he understood the fullness of what he was saying, but Malachi, at the very end of the Old Testament, made this wondrous prophecy. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I'll send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And I think that's talking about John the Baptist preparing the way before the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I'll send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek. They have been seeking for the Lord to come for so long, for hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of years. They have been seeking for the Lord to come. They have been seeking for the Messiah to come. They have been seeking for the one who would save his people from their sin. They have been looking for him and seeking him. And he said, behold, the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. We see that scene there in Luke chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus, a babe of some 40 days old, where the Lord Jesus comes to his temple for the first time. We come to the house of God this morning, and we love coming to the house of God, and we're blessed to be a part of the house of God. But this isn't our house. It's his house. But here, the first time in history, the mystery is being revealed. God's manifest in the flesh, and God is coming to his temple bodily. And the Lord revealed it to a couple of folks, a pretty old man and a pretty old woman. Everybody is important in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the one that's the very youngest to the ones of the very oldest. The Lord had given a great blessing to Simeon here in Luke chapter 2. He said, behold, there, this is verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the comforter to come. He was waiting for the consoler to come. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit, where? Into the temple. when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. There it is. There's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. Suddenly the Lord's come to his temple. Wouldn't have been what the world was expecting for a king to come to the temple. 40-day-old baby. But it was God manifest in the flesh. He comes to his temple, and Simeon's been blessed by the Lord. It's been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said he took him up in his arms and blessed God and say, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Again, not just the Jews, but he's a blessing also to us, the Gentiles. Praise God. Said he's a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. Simeon was blessed to see him. Now I'll tell you, it's a sweet picture that this old faithful servant of God, who was not long to this world, said, Lord, now I can die. I've seen God manifest in the flesh. I've seen the Savior that's come. That's all I need to see. Lord, I can depart in peace. Lord, I can die in peace. The Comforter's come. The Comforter's come. Simeon takes him up in his arms. It's such a blessing to see that while this man has been blessed to hold in his arms God manifest in the flesh, that same Lord, at the same time Simeon was holding him, Jesus had Simeon in his hand. John chapter 10 tells us, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, says Jesus. You know where we are today? In the hand of the Lord Jesus. No matter what's happening in this world today, no matter how bad things get, we are in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're eternally secure in that hand. So I'll tell you, while Simeon was blessed to hold that 40-day-old baby, that baby, God, manifest in the flesh, was holding Simeon in his hand. We saw a picture not long ago. I think it may have been Sister Hannah that was visiting with this little hand against maybe the hand of her grandfather or great-grandfather. You see a little baby hand next to the hand of a stronger, older man. But see, the Lord's hand, even as a baby, because he's God manifest in the flesh, his hand was big enough to hold all the elect family of God. He's God manifest in the flesh. Said he was justified in the spirit. And I've got to move quickly because there's a lot more to cover. But back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he was justified in the spirit. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 1, you'll see very clearly one of the ways he was justified in the spirit. And I think there's at least one other way. It said he was justified in the spirit. The word justify means to declare righteous. Jesus was always holy. Jesus was always righteous. We inherit our sin nature from our father. We inherited it from Adam. And it's been passed down through our father to all of us. That's why all of us were conceived into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus had no earthly father. Now, Joseph was his legal father, but his real biological father, if you will, was God. Was the Lord himself. And Jesus has always been holy. He's always been perfect. He's always been righteous. There was never a time he wasn't. So the word justify does not mean to make righteous. It means to declare him to be righteous. Jesus was always righteous. But look what. Let's begin in Romans 1 and we'll just read down to verse 4 for a little bit of context. Paul begins to the church at Rome and says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing he wanted folks to know about. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. One of the first things folks ought to know about us is that we're servants of Jesus Christ. He said, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So this verse said Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. He was justified in the Spirit by the resurrection from the dead. You know how we know that what Jesus did on the cross was a victory? Is because Jesus rose from the grave. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 talks all about. That we can know and understand that what Jesus did on the cross was a victory, that he finished the work of redemption, and the proof of that is that he rose from the grave on the third day. He was justified in the Spirit. I believe there's one more time that Jesus was declared righteous by the Spirit, at least one more time. That was at his baptism. Remember, John baptized the Lord Jesus on that great day. All three persons of the Godhead were present. You had God the Son being baptized. You had God the Father speaking from heaven. And you had God the Holy Spirit that descended like a dove. All three persons of the Godhead, the triune Godhead, spoken was there on that occasion. You know what God said from heaven? He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's righteous. He's holy. My Son has done my will." He was justified in the Spirit on that day. Jesus was declared righteous in mighty ways. At his baptism, at his resurrection, he was justified in the Spirit. He was declared to be the righteous, holy, sinless Son of God. And God declared him. Said it was seen of angels. We've already talked about that a little while. But I'm going to tell you, angels are present throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on numerous occasions where we're told about it. I suspect there's a lot of other times that wasn't specifically revealed that they were present. They were very interested in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very interested in the mystery that's been revealed. When Jesus was born, we talked about that. Shortly after Jesus' public ministry began, right after he was baptized, the Bible said he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, the onslaught of Satan came again and again and again upon the Son of God. And every time, Jesus fought off the temptations of Satan with the Holy Scripture. After that, the Bible said angels came and ministered unto him. There were angels there. There were angels there when Jesus was born and gave him that heavenly announcement. There were angels there. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was anticipating the agony of the cross, anticipating the wrath of Almighty God that he was going to take upon himself for my sins and your sins and all the sins of all the elect family of God. In anticipating that, the Bible said his soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know what happened there in Gethsemane? It said an angel came, strengthened him. There were angels there. The Lord Jesus had the command of all the angels of heaven. You remember when Peter took out his sword and chopped off the servant of the high priest ear? Remember what Jesus said? He said, those that take the sword shall perish by the sword. And he told him to put it up. He said, do you not know? I could ask my Father. He would give me 12 legions of angels. He said, if I ask my Father, all the angels of heaven would come to defend me. You know, in the Old Testament, one angel in one night killed 185,000 of the Assyrians, enemies of Israel. If you multiply what the normal legion was in Rome at that time by 12, and you multiply that times 185,000, not to say that an angel couldn't have killed more than that, but we know they could because they had done it. One angel did. It could have annihilated the world's population at that time many times over. So by the heavenly word of Christ, he could have summoned the angels that annihilated every single person on the face of the globe. That's the power of Jesus. Those angels were seen. He was seen of angels. They were very interested in what Christ was doing. These things, angels desire to look into the gospel that we're blessed to hear in 2020. Angels desire to look into it. It's a glorious thing that Jesus has come and saved his people. And you know, we ought to be more interested than angels. You know why? Jesus didn't come to die for the angels. The angels are not embraced in the covenant of grace. Jesus didn't die for angels, but he died for me. He died for you. You care more about something that pertains to somebody else or something that pertains to yourself. You care as much about what's going on in Russia right now, if it doesn't affect us, as what's going on in the United States. I'd say all of us here, we're more interested. What's happening in our country because it concerns us. Angels desire to look into these things. He was seen of angels. And they gloried in his majesty. We get to heaven, angels will surround the throne. And all their focus will be upon King Jesus. And his majesty and his glory. When he was raised from the dead, there were angels there. You remember the women came? The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Here's where he was, but he's not there anymore because the tomb is empty. We serve a risen Savior. Angels declared that. He was seen of angels. They saw him rise from the dead. He was seen of angels. When he goes to ascend into heaven, and actually this ends with that, he said he was preached unto the Gentiles. I'll get to his ascension in a moment. He was preached unto the Gentiles. What a blessing. What a blessing. For so long, so many of the Jews thought they were the only ones that God really loved, that they were the only ones that God really cared about. But I'm going to tell you, when this great mystery of godliness was revealed, God revealed on his people that it's more than just the Jews that God loves.
But he's got a people that he loves out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. He loves the Gentiles too.
What did Simeon say? He saw a glimpse of it. He said he's the glory of his people Israel. But he also said he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. Aren't you glad Jesus loves Gentiles? I don't think there's a Jew here this morning. We're a bunch of Gentiles. Aren't you glad Jesus came for all people? Aren't you glad Jesus was preached unto the Gentiles? Said he was believed on in the world. What a blessing when we believe. I tried to preach not too long ago out of Luke 24. And the disciples, Jesus had already been risen from the dead. They didn't know it. They didn't believe it. Jesus had told them at least three times he was going to be crucified and he was going to be raised from the dead. He told them again and again and again, three times in the few verses in Matthew. But they didn't remember it. They didn't believe it. And they were in despondency, thinking what Jesus did on the cross was a great defeat. When if they had just believed what he said, their sorrow would have been turned into joy. You know that when we believe, when we remember what Jesus has told us in his word and the preaching of the gospel, and when we believe it, it makes all the difference in our life. Our sorrow can be turned into joy when we believe the promises of God and remember them. He said he was believed on in the world. What a blessing has it been on us to believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. All the dear saints of God that have passed on to the Lord since I've been here, and I've seen in their final days, I've seen them believing on the Lord. What did Simeon say? Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I've seen many an old dying old Baptist that have died in peace and comfort because they've seen the one that brought salvation. They've seen the comforter, the consoler that would come. They said like Simeon, Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of my people Israel. Said he was received up, the last part of it. He was received up into glory. You know why he was received up into glory? Because he's victorious. He finished the work which the Lord gave him to do, and he rose up to the right hand of the throne room of Almighty God. Y'all have heard me quote Hebrews 1:3 so much, but it's a great verse. And I hope I'm quoting it till the day I die. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, when he, that is Jesus, when he had by himself purged our sins. That means he washed them all away in his own precious blood. Not one sin left to the account of you or to any one of the elect of God. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not one, because our sins are washed in his own precious blood. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high in great victory, in great glory, in great majesty, he said. You know, I love the scene there in Acts chapter 1 where the disciples are watching him go up. The Bible said he just starts ascending. He leaves this ground of sin and sorrow and he begins to ascend back to the Father. And an angel says, talking about angels, he's seen of angels. Two men in shining apparel were there. Said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He ascended bodily. He's coming back bodily. He ascended in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. The Old Testament says the Lord's gone up with a shout. We know he's coming back with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's coming back with a shout. I think he left with a shout of victory, because he had done what the Father had sent him to do. He had saved his people, every single one, by his own precious blood. One sweet day, that same Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, is coming again. He's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He's coming at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound. We'll all be raised incorruptible. No disease, no coronavirus, anything, but incorruptible and undefiled. The Bible said, then with the consummation of this mystery of godliness, totally and completely be fulfilled. Said, then shall it be said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes again, sorrow and sighing and death shall flee away. And we, with one family, the family of God, will all be together in perfect bliss with the captain of our salvation, the one that was God manifest in the flesh. May we trust him till that day comes. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.